2022 has been a year of travel and Retronauts people speaking in front of large audiences. But not everyone can make those audiences, so we've pulled together a couple of our recent panel presentations and posted them here for you to listen to in high-quality audio. Nadia Oxford kicks things off by talking about dragons and video games, a personal interest of hers. And I follow up on my recent obsession with the Sega SG-1000 by talking about Sega's 8-bit legacy in arcades and beyond. Both presentations are available for you to listen to now as patron exclusives on the Retronauts Patreon. Go to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribe to the show at $5 a month or more, and you can hear this exclusive episode and dozens of others stretching back several years, along with patron-exclusive weekly columns and mini-podcasts by Diamond Fight, Discord access, and more. That's patreon.com/retronauts. Enjoy the presentations.
You will almost never go from fighting a level one slime to a dragon. Like, it just is against the natural order of the universe. So that's one reason why they're so cool and why they make such excellent RPG characters and bosses and whatnot. They're versatile. You can do whatever you want with a dragon. Who's going to stop you? Is God going to come down and say, that's not what a dragon looks like? No, he can't. He's helpless. So you are free to do whatever you want with the dragon. And that's why in many cultures you'll see, like, a Western dragon more represented as, like, a, you know, big beefy boy, and Eastern dragons more benevolent and tend to be more in tune with the elements. And, of course, there's a whole mix-up in between. And, I mean, they can fly, they can fight, they can breathe fire, they can breathe ice, they can breathe toxic gas if you really want them to, if you're into TSR like I am. But, you can't go wrong with the dragon. That's basically the whole story. And every culture has their take on the monsters, which I think is very interesting. Everybody just knows what a dragon is. So I'm going to dive into what I think, personally, are the coolest dragons in retro video games. Now, this is by no means a definitive list. We have the universal law up here. You can't talk down to a dragon. It's not possible. But I thought I'd just kind of pay homage to the ones I think are really awesome. So first of all, we have these three boys from Adventure, the Dragons 3. I don't know if they're called that. I just made it up for them. Before we had Game of Thrones, we had these three boys, and one of them's named Grundle. I'm sorry. I didn't make that up. Rindle and Yorgle. Yorgle is the yellow fellow. He is very cowardly. He will kind of avoid you, and you have to chase after him to slay him. The other two, I don't know. I never got that far in Adventure for the Atari 2600. It's not exactly an easy game. Adventure, though, if you do know it, it is one of the precursors to, say, Legend of Zelda and Ys games and stuff like that. It's a very, very basic adventure game, but everything kind of goes back to it in a way. The idea with the dragons in Adventure was to take up a sword and kill them, and then you could safely transport your treasures throughout the castle. Harder than it sounds, because if you think hit detection was good hit detection was a thing in Atari 2600 games, I've got news for you. The dragons have been kind of pointed out for looking like ducks, I suppose, with donuts, and to this day, I understand not everyone can draw. I'm not great, but I can draw a dragon. Like, it has a head, it has wings, it breathes fire. I don't know why you put a hole in the middle of one. were you thinking of a coffee break? I just don't understand. But the point is, these guys, you can slay them, you can, you know, throw them some bread from a park bench, so they also look like ducks. And either way, just get that chalice. And now we are on to Spyro from Spyro. Now here's the thing I find very interesting about Spyro. He is purple. And you don't see too many purple dragons out there. Now, why is that? It's because I think purple is a hard color to take seriously in this context. Because, first of all, you have Barney the Purple Dinosaur if you were in the 90s and just decide to hate a purple dinosaur for no reason. So Spyro, even though he's a mischievous boy, he still has a certain seriousness about him. And he manages to pull that off with the color purple. And I really respect that. I also really respect the fact that he's a 3D platformer mascot who has lasted. Everyone knows who Spyro is. He came out around the time of Super Mario 64, and if you think that a platformer, like a 3D platformer, had an easy job following up to Super Mario 64, especially since this was on the PlayStation, so no analog controls, like, I don't know what to tell you, it's not true. It was a hard feat, and they did it very well. The only problem is he's kind of alive today, but kind of dead. And I hate to say that because, well, we all know Papa Activision Blizzard, Toys for Bob, all of that kind of up in the air what's going on, especially since Microsoft is all involved, tangled up in all this. But I believe Spyro will be okay. And that is because, well, think about Skylanders. He was the king of Skylanders, and he kind of clawed his way out of that mountain of plastic garbage that is now kind of probably festering in a landfill or the ocean. He's still alive. The others are not. Therefore, he is superior dragon. Pretty good for a small guy.
So that was the company's second attempt at 2D graphics in the same space. The third was the Zaxxon hardware, which they created in collaboration with a company called Ikegami Tsushinki, who had previously made Donkey Kong and a bunch of other Nintendo arcade games until they had a falling out with Nintendo over Donkey Kong rights. So they teamed up with Sega and made Zaxxon here, which was a mind-blowing experience. They also made basically isometric Donkey Kong as kind of a take that to Nintendo with Congo Bongo here. I don't think it's as good a game as Donkey Kong, but it still looked really, really cool. So those were kind of the three effects that they explored in terms of getting into 3D space. You had the scaling graphics, everything, you know, just an image that gets bigger and smaller. You had the isometric graphics of the G80 or the Zaxxon hardware, and you had the vector effects to create kind of a pre-polygonal 3D on the G80 hardware. So they were really, you know, exploring here and experimenting. But all of these were based on the same general kind of 8-bit processor chipset. They just had different graphical capabilities, different co-processors to help give them different capabilities.